here are two things that we all...
So we had a coaches meeting. That was years ago. I now know what the coaches meeting is all about, which is just hanging out and having a beer or two.
But so, did the text messages still come in, coaches meeting on Saturday?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Text messages say coaches meeting. So, yeah.
Coaches meeting at our favorite local pub.
Yes. Which happens to be the little bar above the Artsy Movie Theater. That's, you know, part of the Artsy Movie Theater is now one of the favorite places to go and hang out.
Because it is one of the favorite places in town, for sure.
Yes.
So I've been thinking a little bit about our social life and our friendship connections. And it got me thinking about the workshop that I'm just wrapping up.
Yeah, I've sort of been eavesdropping a little bit, not on the participants, but more so.
I'll need to know. First is that as human beings, we are wired to crave connection and friendship. And the second thing is that research shows that up to 60% of us, and maybe more, suffer from loneliness. What a disconnect. Today on the Weekly Walk podcast, Eric and I are going to dig into just some of the things and the conversations and the stories arising out of the friendship workshop that I'm just completing, because it has been a joyful journey for me and there are so many lessons to be learned. I'm excited to share them with you. So if making connections, forging friendships, and being happier are things that are important to you, lace up your sneakers and let's get going. Hey, Eric.
Hey, Joyce.
Do you realize that we have not hosted a dinner or a brunch or in anything in like weeks, maybe months?
I would say months.
What's wrong with us?
It's been winter hibernation-y time, I think.
I think there's definitely some truth to that. I was thinking the same thing, like now that the weather is starting to get a little bit warmer, we could maybe host a barbecue, but it's not even that warm yet. So, and we don't wait until summer to host, like we're super social people.
Yeah, I sort of feel like a groundhog.
Okay, I'm listening.
So groundhogs hibernate by themselves. They're like in this little hole. And then on or about February 2nd, they stick their little heads up and then they come out and they're like, hey, Ralph. Hey, Bert. Hi, Luann. And they see all the other little groundhogs that have been hibernating all winter in their field. And then they sort of socialize again. So that's sort of the way I feel.
That's how you feel? So you feel like a groundhog?
Yeah, I need to like sort of, I'm sort of sticking my head up. I'm sort of looking around right now. And I haven't gone over to anybody else's burrow yet, but I'm getting there.
Well, we're supposed to be going to somebody else's burrow on Friday, and then we've got some social plans Saturday.
And I actually had a boys' social night, what was that, like 2-3 weeks ago?
I don't even think that much.
Yeah, so...
So this is actually hilarious. I'm going to share this story a little bit. So this is a group of men who get together occasionally for a coaches meeting. I'm using air quotes. Would you like to sort of share how that came to be?
Yeah. So when we moved to Sag Harbor, I sort of got connected with this group of guys. And actually, I got a text one day saying, you know, like on a Wednesday or Thursday, like coaches meeting Friday.
But didn't it start with coaches from the flag football?
Yeah. Yeah. A bunch of the guys were coaching flag football.
So it started that way.
Yeah. And I went all ready to talk about flag football and rules and coaching.
Upcoming season.
And no, it was just an excuse to hang out, have a few beers. And I think, I don't know if everybody does this, but to tell your wife, oh, I got a coach's meeting tonight. On sort of you, and eavesdropping might be an overstatement, but following along. And it seems like it's going really well.
Oh, it's been really great. In part because even leading these kinds of workshops gives me the opportunity to connect with some new people and some new women in a pretty authentic and honest kind of way that, gosh, I just love that kind of thing. I just love pulling that material together, giving value, and then having the chance to have deep conversations and connect with people. I love that.
That's good. You are finding your bliss in that.
I am finding a lot of bliss in that. So is it worth sharing a little bit of kind of some of the things that we've explored and discovered?
I think it's worth it. I think that's why we decided to talk about it during this podcast. So yes, I definitely think it is, because, you know, one of the things I'd like to sort of start with, and I think you explore pretty deeply, is for health, wellness, longevity, quality of life, social connections is right up there with exercise, diet, and not smoking.
I was traveling last week, I think it was last week, and there was a woman. I was traveling with a group of predominantly women. There were two guys, but mostly women.
Not me.
Not you. That would have been fun if you had been there. And it was kind of retreat-like. Adventure camp, retreat-like, whatever. Anyway.
Retreat light?
No, just...
Retreat-like.
Retreat-like, with a heavy dose of adventure. And I got to know a woman who I had just met for the first time. And she's about 10 years older than we are, or than I am. And she retired last year. And then after she retired, she and her husband moved full-time. Actually, I think they'd moved a little bit before anyway. So she's living in a relatively new community to her for the last 3 years or so. And she's retired from a 25 plus year career. And I said, how's retirement? Because I know people who just, gosh, they couldn't be happier. And she said, it's terrible.
Oh, no.
I said, why? And she said, I used to be somebody and now I feel like I'm nobody. And I used to have all of these connections and relationships and I feel really lonely and isolated. I was like, oh boy.
Well, she came to the right place.
For sure. And it just is such a reminder, as you say, of the importance of community and connection for the sake of happiness and longevity.
And that all being said, and we've mentioned this on the podcast for sure, but you've had the good fortune to interview Surgeon General Vivek Murthy, who's written a whole book on what he's calling the loneliness epidemic.
He's identified it as one of the most significant health issues and epidemics facing our society. I mean, this is really the drum that he's beating. His book called Together is brilliant if anybody is looking for something to read to sort of dig deep into this. And yes, I had the honor of interviewing him on a podcast, Walk and Talk. What a interesting, brilliant guy. And what's interesting to me about him is he has been beating this drum now for years and years. So sometimes I see or I observe that people kind of in the public eye or people, I suppose people in general, like identify something, talk about it, and then move on to the next thing. Dr. Murthy is not done with this.
He's relentless.
He is sticking to it. He is continuing to advocate and work on the loneliness epidemic. And apparently so am I.
Yeah. And part of the good news, or is this a oxymoron, is if you are feeling some loneliness, you're not alone.
Right. I say that all the time. So research shows that upwards of 60%, and the research is kind of all over the map, depending on demographics, et cetera, et cetera. But there's a lot of research out there that says 60% or more of the American population suffers from regular bouts of loneliness. So yeah, if you feel lonely, you're not alone. But there's other really good news.
What's that?
loneliness and social isolation and all of those things can be ameliorated by skills that you can actually learn. Like, you can do something about it.
That is good news.
Took you a lot of thought to like, oh, that is good news.
Well, I sort of, my brain was going somewhere, and can I digress just
Please,
for a
of
moment?
Of course. I mean, that would be, you know, unusual for our podcast. So,
well, I haven't come up with a scale yet. So
it's
there's
early.
That. Yes. But we recently sort of went through this with my mom, and
oh my gosh,
you know, not that she was lonely at the time or that she was bordering on it, but she was at risk of being really isolated. She had some health things going on.
She was kind of lonely.
Yeah, I think she was. She was definitely on the lonely side, though. She probably wouldn't have admitted it. But we all worked with her and have her in a independent living, retirement, very lovely community where now she's just surrounded by people. If she has her own apartment, totally independent. But if she walks down to the lobby, there's people playing cards, and there's often speakers and movies and activities. And she is definitely more engaged with people. And when I talk to her, she talks about friends and people that she knows and this and that. And I think it's really been great in that regard, just being in that environment. So, you know, that took some work to get her out of her home that she loved, and it was definitely hard, and it was adjustment, but now she's in a place with community.
And just adding to that, well, first of all, she will sometimes say things like, I don't know about that. Let me talk to my friends. I'll talk to my friends over dinner about that topic. And I'm like, oh yeah, that is awesome. But it also bears talking about the fact that when she first moved into this building, this club,
community,
this club. Community. Thank you. That was the word I was looking for. She struggled mightily over the first couple of weeks and months.
Well,
because meeting new people,
it's hard. And I will say this about my mom. I've always said it. She has grit. She has always been a very hard worker and not someone to shy away from a challenge. And she kissed some frogs at this place. She met some people. She engaged with some people. She was dining with some people. And they just weren't the right fit. And a month or so ago, she really connected with a group that seems to really be great for her.
Honestly, your mother's move and building of these new relationships is totally a microcosm of everything around this topic. So for sure. And here's another major lesson to be learned from your mom's experience. Ready?
Yes.
It's never too late to make new friends.
Oh, yes. That's true.
I think we can't emphasize that enough. I feel like some of the people with whom I work who are experiencing loneliness and who are feeling isolated, I think there sometimes is a feeling or a thought of, it's too late. This is just the way it's going to be. These are the circumstances I'm in. These are the barriers I face. And therefore, I'm going to be lonely forever.
Well, look at it this way, particularly with our local friend group. The significant majority, dare I say vast majority of them, are people that we have made connections with in the last 10 years, when, I'll speak for myself, I was in my 50s. Barely. So, yeah.
And then I have an aunt and an uncle who lived in New York forever. Born and raised here, lived here forever, and moved to Florida, I guess, 3 years ago.
Okay.
And they could not be busier, happier, or more engaged in their new community. And this is a couple who unlike the woman that I met last week, retired and couldn't be any happier. So not to suggest that retirement is bad, because I don't know. I'd like to find out one day.
Yeah, I was wondering about them. And is their main social circle now just all new people?
I think on the day-to-day, I assume that they have maintained, I know that they've maintained some old friendships because they do spend about a month and a half in New York each summer. So I know that, I'm sure that they've maintained old friends for sure. But my mom was visiting them at their new home, and it's part of a development in Florida, part of a community in Florida. And my mom said, you know, they walk through the clubhouse and it's hi, 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 hi. You know, we playing pickleball later. We playing tennis later. I'll meet you in the gym. When's that next Mahjong game? Who wants to play bridge? I mean, it's just, they've got it going on.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Those are relationships, new relationships that they have built in their 70s.
It's never too late.
It's never too late. So one of the thing, not one of, a big part of what we're covering in this workshop is around understanding our patterns around developing friendships and relationships, and also just working on specific tactical tools and skills and things that you can do. But one of the things that's been super interesting is to learn about how different people were socialized and raised around community and friendships.
Tell me.
Well, I think about how I was raised. My parents entertained all the time. And partly that's because we were what my family refers to as house people. We loved our home. And that was where my parents put a fair bit of their energy and frankly, resources. And we didn't have a lot of money growing up. There was no going out to dinner, traveling on vacation. There was none of that. So what there were a ton of backyard barbecues.
I love our backyard barbecues.
I do too. But I think I was raised around that's one of the primary ways you connect with your friends, is you have them in your home. And not everybody feels that way. Not everybody was raised that way. Did your parents entertain? I feel like we haven't really talked about this. Did your parents entertain?
Rarely. They entertained some, but not much. And when they did, I was upstairs like the Van Trapp children peeking down. I was not like sort of welcome. I did not engage. I mean, I was thinking about this, that like our kids know our friends, most of them by first name is sort of the comfort level, and see them around. And I know a lot of our friends' kids. And other than my father's best friend, two best friends, I can't think of anybody else. Like, I don't remember really any of my mom's friends from growing up. You know, there were couples, but yeah, it's not like they were over, you know, 4, 5, 6 plus times a year. Like, our friends can often be over the course of a year where I got to know them, and our kids did see our friends that often. So my parents did not entertain on a regular basis.
What about family, though? I feel like from the stories I've heard, you spent a fair bit of time with cousins and...
Yes. My mom had a sister whose kids were, there were a couple of them about my age, my sister's age. So spent a fair bit of time with them. And my dad's brother had kids about our age, a little younger, and we spent a fair bit of time with them. So we did see them certainly more regularly than our friend groups.
But that sort of counts, right? So this goes to something that I talk a fair bit, especially early on in the workshop, is kind of around my vision of friendship circles.
Okay, you've shared this with me, but remind me.
Some people have a very kind of limited definition of what a friend is. And some people define a friend as the 2 a.m. person, right? You've heard talk of that, right? Who can you call at 2 o'clock in the morning and you know they'll be there? And
Ooh, you know what?
what?
I'm sensing a scale coming up.
Totally.
Okay.
I do it as circles. Visually, for me, it's circles with the outer circles coming to the inner circles, but you could certainly turn it into a scale.
Okay.
So that 2 a.m., those 2 a.m. people that I refer to as your ride or dies, certainly those are friends. But research shows that most people have, you ready? 2.8 of them.
Most people have 2.8 ride or dies.
Yep. And that can include spouse or relative, sibling. It doesn't exclude your relatives. So your sister could be your ride or die or not. But 2.8 of them. So if I'm your first ride or die, I hope that I am, that means only one and a half more, 1.8 more.
I definitely have. I have another one, and then I have a point eight.
Exactly. So I know sometimes people feel like, oh, I don't have all those 2 a.m. people. And it's just a reminder that most people don't have six 2 a.m. people, six ride or dies. If you've got two or three,
If you've
that's good.
got one, I think that's good.
If you've got one, that's good. And then you go out from there, going outwards of the circles. You've got your fun friends. Like these are the people who you have. This is your coaches group. These are your fun friends. Well, actually, interesting. There are some people in your coaches group who are your fun friends. And then the next circle out are your community friends. So these are people who sort of you see in the community. When you see them, you chit chat with them. You're comfortable with them. And there's a lot of value in those relationships as well. But these are not the people who you would call and say, hey, want to go fly fishing?
I don't think I'd call anybody. When was the last time you saw me fly? Of all
That
of this, fly fishing,
funny? Wasn't that
like
funny?
surfing, paddle boarding, workout, skiing, fly fishing? Yeah, none of them are people I would call and say, want to go fly fishing.
But if you think just about your coaches group, there are some guys in that group who I think you would consider your fun friends, who you might say, let's do something, or we would do something as couples.
Right.
And then there are some people in that group who are just community friends, people you know, you see around, you know them by name.
Yeah, friends of friends.
Friends of friends, exactly. And then outside of that are what I call coffee shop friends. Those are the people you see at the coffee shop on a somewhat regular basis, not daily, not even weekly, but often enough that you say hello. Maybe you know their names. Maybe you don't know their names.
Kim.
Kim is her name.
No,
Oh, his name.
his name.
Kim is a total coffee shop friend.
Yeah.
And then outside of that, which they get a category all their own, are social media friends.
Which I have a fair number of, and a number of people that I've never met in person, only interacted with on social media, that I would say, sure, they're a friend. Like there's a guy I know through CrossFit over the years.
Shocking.
Never met him in person, but we're friends on social media. We may have DM'd a few times and chit-chatted, but we comment on each other's posts, et cetera, and we met someone through business, and it was funny. This new business contact said, "Do you happen to know this guy Dave who lives in South Carolina, who's about your age and does CrossFit?" I'm like, "Absolutely." So that's an example of a good social media friend, I would say.
And I think you and I are pretty generous in our who we include among our friends. When you refer to friends, I'll actually ask you that question. Like you refer to this guy Dave as a friend?
Yes. Yep, I would. And you know, if or when I see him in person, that hopefully our paths will cross someday. You know, give him a big hug and a bro hug and a back slap, and be excited to see him.
So social media has certainly blessings and curses for sure, as far as making connections and maintaining friendships. And one of the women in the workshop this last cohort, she lives very rural, super isolated. And for people who are kind of living that rural, the digital world does present opportunities for connection, and they do count. They're not as good as connections in person, for sure. There's all kinds of research around that. It doesn't have the same depth. It doesn't have whatever, but it can be really valuable and supportive.
And it can also lead to creating in-person connections. You can start on social and then say, hey, let's meet up in, Homersburg for a cup of coffee, and maybe even get a group together and turn that social media
Cohort
friendship
friendship
connection
connection.
into IRL, to use the lingo that kids are saying these days.
You are so hip. It's amazing. But you raise a really good point.
I'm so fed up.
You better explain feta.
Is just a slang for cool and easy and good.
It's not.
It is.
It's not.
It's gonna be.
You made it up.
No, someone else made it up.
I thought you made it up.
No, someone else made it up for that same intent.
Of what? Just making up a word?
Yeah, just making up a word that Gen Zers would think is a cool word and start using it to see if it's happened. Like biscuit cash.
No, biscuit cash is a real phrase. I mean, that one you made up, and it makes sense.
Feta, not so much.
I don't know. I mean, it does have a nice ring to it.
Doesn't
That's
it?
so
It's
feta.
so feta.
You better take a second and explain biscuit cash. We're almost out of time. It has nothing to do with friendship, but it is
Well,
a fantastic expression.
we were with some friends that you made a connection with. You reached out to interview Sean Dromgoole, who is We Walk with Sean, who you can look it up, long story, but he has a whole nonprofit around walking to bring communities together. Anyway, we connected with Sean and his ride or die best friend Drew, and we were out and about, and we were at like a farmer's market, and you wanted a biscuit. And you said, Eric, do you have some cash for a biscuit? And I said, yes, I got some biscuit cash. And we have now used that phrase to mean a little bit of walking around money, like enough money to buy a biscuit, but you're not going to buy a new sweater.
Exactly.
So I got some biscuit cash,
Right,
like a 5 and 3 single. That's biscuit
because
cash. I got some biscuit cash in my pocket. I actually said something to Drew the other day on social media.
he's
Something,
out on tour. Did
I said, I think he's like, I'm out on tour. I said, you got to go earn that biscuit cash. And he commented back, LOL. It was pretty funny.
Okay, we totally digress. Though the whole Sean and Drew building those friendships and connections, it's so funny that they came up in conversation today, because I spoke with Sean at length yesterday. We haven't actually hopped on the phone in a while, and maybe planning a visit for them this summer, et cetera. So relationships can often move through these circles, starting not necessarily starting with social media, though possible, but starting with coffee shop or community, and over time becoming not necessarily a ride or die, but certainly a fun friend and maybe a ride or die. And some of the things that it takes to build friendships, and remarkably, there's a lot of research on this, but some of the key things, one of which there's not a whole lot you can do about, it's time. You can't rush friendship. You have to invest the time.
Yeah, I wasn't sure where you were going with time, whether, and you sort of hit on both things. A, you have to put in the time, and B, it takes time. Sort of like making wine.
Making wine is a little bit like fly fishing, because not only have we never made wine, we don't even drink much wine. We've never been to a vineyard.
Sure, we have.
We have?
Yeah. Well, I have. You okay. Have. We went to your friend's wedding at a vineyard.
I'm not sure. That's true. But I'm not sure that it's not like we were educated on winemaking. We were at a wedding.
I've been on a few wine tours in my life. Before you.
With your other ride or dies? Previous ride or dies?
No, there was no ride or die before you.
Aw. I literally could talk about these topics for hours.
So you did this seminar, workshop?
It's a workshop.
It's a workshop.
A 6-week workshop.
And it's winding down, right?
Yeah.
Are you going to do it again?
I hope so. I have loved it. And the feedback I've gotten from this initial cohort has been amazing, amazing. I mean, people really feel like it's moved the needle for them. It's been transformative for them, and it's made them happier. So yeah, if I can do more of that, of course, that's what makes my heart sing.
I was going to say, and it's made you happier.
And it's made me happier. So yeah. So the moral of the story, if I were to leave everyone who's listening with one or two takeaways around this, it is that connections and relationships and friendships can be built at any stage, any time of your life. It's going to take some work on your part. I mean, there's so much we didn't even get to talk about this morning, but it's going to take work on your part and it's going to take some time, but it's totally doable. Hey, Joyce here, and I wanted to thank you for joining us for today's Weekly Walk podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's episode, and if you did, we would love it if you would head over to iTunes or Spotify and leave us a review. The truth is, you guys, those reviews mean everything. And if you want to learn a bit more about the incredible 99 Walks community, you can visit us at 99walks.fit, or you can check out the 99 Walks Facebook group, which is an amazing group of women, all of whom are walking their way to better and supporting one another in an incredible way.